police plan on taking me in.
I would much prefer that to the alternative.
Every leap of civilization was built off the back of slaves. Replicants are the future, but I can only make so many. I have the lock, and he has the key. I think I found him.
That's not possible. If this gets out, we've bought ourselves a war.
You're a cop. I did your job once.
Things were simpler then.
What do you want?
I want to ask you some questions. What happened?
I covered my tracks. Scrambled the records.
We were being hunted.
By who?
And here people only thought that Marvel and Sony could get along. Well, it looked like we got another collaborative film in some aspects, if you will, where Sony and Alcon, they produced the movie. Talking about Blade Runner 2049 here. They produced the movie. They put up most of the money. And Warner Brothers went ahead and distributed it for them. So look at that collaborative teamwork of major studios there working together. Look at that. It's a beautiful thing right there. Like I said, talking about Blade Runner 2049, the original came out, or the first film, because this is a sequel. First film came out in 1982, I believe. I could be wrong, but, you know, it's almost about 30 years ago. Now, the first Blade Runner was not a hit among critics, nor financially wise. I expect the same thing to go for this one. I don't think financially, this ain't going to do a goddamn thing here. I'd be shocked if it goes over $35 million. I really do. It doesn't help that running time is almost 3 goddamn hours as well, too. So, and, you know, I saw this today, actually. Crippled and all, doesn't matter. I was in a car accident last night, and, dude ran me straight off the road or whatever. Fucked my arm up a little bit here, but I said, man, since I was out of town and missed the... Earlier this week, I was out of town and missed the Blade Runner showings there. I was like, you know, this is a big film coming out. I gotta go see this, especially since all I saw really was a couple of indie films earlier this week and My Little Pony. I was like, ugh, I gotta get that Blade Runner in there. Not that I was really looking forward or really rushing out to see it, but I was like, you know, it's being called a masterpiece. But, you know, usually, whenever critics call something a masterpiece, I tend to not really agree with them. I think Dunkirk was called a masterpiece. I didn't really agree there. I'm trying to think what else got called a masterpiece this year. In my eyes, I thought Detroit was a masterpiece. Masterpiece of storytelling, at least. I don't know about the film as a whole or whatever and stuff. So, you know, for Dunkirk to be called that and Detroit not, I was just a little baffled by. And I hear this one being called a masterpiece. And my only problem going in here was, man, I haven't seen that Blade Runner. Man, I'm trying to think. Maybe back in 2000. It's been so long since I've seen that original Blade Runner. I've never watched the final cut and everything. So I'm not one of those. I'm sorry, but all these director cuts and shit like that, you're not about to get my extra money. Look, if I paid to watch it in theater or paid to get the Blu-ray version ever or whatever I paid to do it, I mean, if I just rented it, then fine. Even though renting like that, like now, it wasn't available back in the 2099 eras and stuff. But look, if I saw it the one time and didn't fucking like it, then you're not getting my extra money. Fuck you, okay? So I don't do that with the, even with the BBS extended cut or whatever. I didn't pay for that shit. So I'm like, no, it's kind of like DLC in a video game, which I don't do that either. I don't pay for that shit. It's like, you're not about to get extra money off me so you can fix the wrongs that you did the first time or whatever the studio might have been involved, whoever it might have been. I really don't give a shit, to be honest. My problem with that was like, I haven't watched this film, and I know there's going to be a lot of hints because Denis Villeneuve loves Blade Runner from what he claims. You know, he wanted to make this so nobody else could fuck it up. And he was probably the forefront of why I really wanted to see it, because he said it's going to be good. And I was like, you know, I'll take his word for it. What was this for? Enemy? I liked Enemy a lot up until the ending. This man, sometimes he just can't end films or whatever. I'll take that back. He just that film, I guess. Enemy, that was some weird ass shit. Prisoners, I thought it was a little beating over the head, but still enjoyed it. Still gave it a low seed still. What else? Plus, I love Terrence Howard in that film. He just crying his ass off. Sicario, that probably, for me, was my least favorite of his films, which is funny because that's probably people's favorite film of his. I enjoyed everything around it except for fucking Emily Blunt's character. That shit was annoying as hell. Arrival, I think it's his best film. I think he was incredible with that. I think it was I was going to say thinking man sci-fi film, but I'm starting to hate that fucking term too, because you notice every time it's a sci-fi film that nobody likes or something like that, they go like, well, it's a thinking man sci-fi, and it's like, no the fuck it's not. Okay. No, if you sat down and actually watched it and like and didn't get up and move or anything, just like straight up just watched the film for the 2 hours or for this film the 3 hours long it is and stuff, you can get it, okay? I'm talking about it's a thinking man sci-fi. It makes you question things. No. I think they did the same thing with Mother or whatever. It's like, it's a thinking man's film or whatever. It's like, no, the fuck. I hate that term now. But I thought Arrival, if I have to use that term, then yeah, I thought Arrival did a lot of good moments and beats there where it had you contemplating and guessing, you know, what was going to happen next. Did a great job with that. And here we were with Blade Runner, which personally I thought was a mistake for Denis Villeneuve. I was like, man, just stick your original properties, keep doing what you were doing there. You don't want to tackle on this big budget film here. And then, you know, once I saw the budget, $185 million, I was like, oh, your ass is definitely broke. I just wonder if Warner Brothers is even getting a cut out of this, because I know most of that funding or whatever they make is going to go straight to Sony and Alcon. I think Alcon gets a little bit more than Sony does, but and oh boy, when you watch the film, you know you're watching a Sony produced film, because that's Sony marketing for your ass, man. They know how to crowbar that Sony sitting there like a motherfucker. They're like, I love it. We're in 2049 and the Sony products are still rolling out here. I was like, and they make it known too in those credit sequences. That big ass Columbia picture sign comes up now, just like, yeah. I get it. Do it. Anyway, let's go ahead and give a plot synopsis. So we got Ryan Gosling, who plays K here. And if your name is K, you automatically a fucking robot. So I guess that's what I love about here being movie spoilers here, is I can go ahead and spoil stuff. Because I don't think the trailers told you he was a replicant. Well, he's a replicant. So spoiler alert there. But he's a replicant trying to just pretty much doing cop work to discover this long buried secret here that leads him to track down a former, I guess they call these Blade Runners, which was Rick Deckard, who's played by, what's his name? Why am I blinking on his fucking name now? Jesus Christ. Harrison Ford. Jesus, man. I wanted to call him Wood Harris for a second, but no, that's not him. And let's put this mystery together of, you know, why he might have run, who's the child belonged to, who is the child, is he the child? He's starting to have some conflicting methods here, or not method, but conflicting thoughts here, is wondering if he's human or is he a replicant and stuff. I don't want to go into my usual plot synopsis details because this movie is fucking 3 hours long. Well, 2 hours and 45 minutes long, so I guess to give my initial thoughts on the film here, I was bored out of my mind in some aspects. That first hour, mainly that's where I was bored at. After the first hour, I thought it picked up a little bit better as far as pacing and stuff goes. That first hour was just, I sat there, and I'm in a barely crowded theater too, and I was like, Jesus Christ, man. I was like, this movie's gonna flop. I was like, Sony and Alcon, what the fuck was you thinking putting your money in this film? I mean, I'm on a Saturday too, and it was, when did I see it? Earlier today, I saw it at 3 o'clock. Yeah, I saw it at 3 o'clock today. I'm at the big, we're in the big room too, you know, at the my local theater down the street here that I walk to, because there's no way in hell I was driving to, because, you know, my arm's fucked up, whatever. I walk there, and I go into the big room. I'm like, oh, we're in the big room. Ooh, theater number one. I was like, oh, shit, right by the exit here and stuff. and, you know, get the comfortable leather seats, all the great stuff that you go with. And I look around, I start to look, I'm like, there's about, it's a big room, there's about 15 to 20 people in this damn room. And I want to say two of them walked out. I saw two people get up, and I never saw no one come back through the doors, you know? So I was like, they must have been bored. I fell asleep three times. Not really dozed off, but in that first hour, I think I, like, you know, your head falls back, and you jump up, like, you wake up and go, like, huh. And then there was a moment where I, like, laid my eyes down for, at least a minute or two, and I was just like, wake up, P1. Wake up. You need to review this movie. Now, this is a 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm wide awake. I got as much as rest as I possibly could last night and stuff, you know. But I got a good amount of sleep and stuff. Had some a nice glass of whiskey to wash the pain away, if you will, whatever and stuff. And I'm wide awake. I walk to this theater. I'm saying hi to everyone over at my local store. I saw the people at the pie bar here in downtown Long Beach. I was like, hey, how's it going? Let me get a sweet potato pie or whatever and a pumpkin pie on the way to go here. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Because it's Halloween season. Let me get that pumpkin pie going here. You know, stop by the old bars and stuff, you know. They all, what happened? Oh, some dipshit ran me over. That's what happened. And I get to this theater, and I was like, but as soon as it opens up, I got to tell you, technical aspect, this film is gorgeous. And who did it? Mr. Roger Deakins. Roger Deakins is the man, okay? And the 14 nominations he's gotten, he's never won an Oscar. I looked at the films coming out later this year, and because not to say that Roger Deakins probably got snubbed. The other people that did win it, they seemed like they did deserve it. Because, man, those, some of those other films that did win for that, they were pretty fucking fantastic, too. I think Roger Deakins this year has a clean shot of winning for this film, for what he did here. Because that opening shot, you see it in the trailer here. It says California 2049. And that opening shot is gorgeous. I don't even know what the fuck I was looking at. But I was like, whatever it is, it's pretty damn hot. I'm not going to lie. I love the color pattern tone here. Cause you know it's like got a dark gray in here, but like I guess the earth is so fucked up at this point because global warming fucked us all over, that it looks dirty, but it has like these vibrant colors in the background that stand out. I love the sci-fi aspect of it. You know, there's I'm getting my positives here, but I love the sci-fi aspect of it as far as like the equipment that was used. I love that car. I love that car, you know. That's what we don't get in a lot of sci-fi films today and stuff is I know we got one in Ghost in the Shell. I'm trying to think of some other sci-fis that came out. But the cars, man, come on. You gotta make the cars look badass. And just like in Akira, I thought that this car was badass too. It had like this little drone that comes out from the top of it, and it like inspects everything, or it does what it tells you, what you tell it to do. It's pretty badass. I was in love with the car. I wish we'd have gotten more with the car. Maybe a cool-ass car chase sequence. Kind of got that at the end. It really wasn't a chase sequence, though. It was just Ryan Gosling coming out of the night blowing shit up. Not meaning blowing shit up like Transformers blowing shit up, but just blowing shit up in the sense of that's how I'm just going to word that. I liked the performances in here. I thought Ryan Gosling, although I will say I thought Ryan Gosling could be a pro and con, and I wouldn't disagree with anyone here. That masterpiece shit's got to stop, though. I got to tell you that right now. I'm looking at this, and I'm like, yeah, I can find a lot of issues with this, whatever. Ryan Gosling, I thought he was great, especially playing, he plays K in here. And we know Ryan Gosling is kind of like, he's kind of like the Mark Wahlberg of film. You don't know if he's good or bad. Because you see him in something like this, and you're like, oh, yeah, he is a good actor. You see him in La La Land, oh, yeah, he is a good actor, even though he can't sing and dance. But he is a good actor. And then you see, I don't know, some movie he might direct or something. You go like, what the fuck is this shit? He has that back and forth trade going, you know, with Mark. He's like, what is this, huh? He did that movie with Bradley Cooper, which was fine, and then he did two movies after that where it was like, I forgot what they were called. I know one of them he directed too, and I was like, I don't know what this shit is. I thought in La La Land he did a good job, like I said, even though he can't sing and dance. I know from people that can't dance, they're probably like, he did a good job, what are you talking about? No, the fuck he did not, okay? Shit, no, the fuck he did not, all right? That was like amateur one-stepping right there, but And here, I thought he did a great job playing that that android type, you know. I was about to call him clone for a second, but no, replicant, I meant. Sorry about that. But, you know, the problem with that, though, is this is a 3-hour fucking film. And, like, nobody in this film shows any enthusiasm. And we're following Ryan Gosling throughout the whole film. So to watch almost a three-hour film of a guy who doesn't emote and just kind of has, like, this straightforward face and reaction to things and stuff, that could be fucking boring for some people. I'm not gonna lie. Now, I'm not asking for everything to be all, like, glim and cheerful or stuff like that, you know. I mean, you could be evil or menacing as fuck, but goddamn, it shows some kind of emotion. I thought Robin Wright did a good job of that. I thought she was great in this film for the little bit that she's in here. You know, she really did hold that mystery going of, like, you know, you never know what she might do. And plus, who she might, is she, like, on the side of Jared Leto and them, whatever. Jared Leto, that's... Guy sucked. Robin Wright, she plays Lieutenant Joshi in here. She's the lieutenant of K and everything. And she wants him to solve this mission here. Another aspect I liked, although I will say there's probably a negative here too, is Ana de Armas, who plays Joy in here. And this is like some straight up her shit that Denis Villeneuve borrowed from. Like, this whole thing was just straight out of her. which is funny, because man, this girl was hot as fuck. I was like, holy shit, you could buy that? I was like, that is the only thing I would want to live in this world for, because I was watching this film and I said, fuck, that's LA almost 30 years from now, whatever. Fuck that. I was like, you might as well just go ahead and kill me now. I was gonna call that guy that ran me over and say, you should have finished the job, bitch. I mean, granted, I probably won't be alive in 30. Actually, no. If I actually manage to live 30 years from now, I'll be 60. That means I probably will see some shit like this. I mean, this city was a dump, okay? I mean, LA's already kind of a dump, don't get me wrong. But I was like, this is like futuristic dump. Like, even in his apartment, he lives like in the slums and shit or whatever and stuff. I mean, there's a bunch of gang members hanging out in front of this place. And then poor San Diego. I mean, Jesus, I know San Diego's unemployment and homeless population is pretty fucking high in that city, but we just said fuck that city and just made it into LA's dumping ground, whatever. San Diego became the garbage disposal. It's like the island of trash. Yeah, that's what San Diego is in the California state here. I felt so bad for San Diego. I was like, man. Because I can almost kind of see that, too. I almost can see it as well. It's pretty fucking sad here. But Joy, Ana de Armas, she's just so fucking gorgeous. It's like, whew, man. And they straight up do, like, a whole body sequence thing, like, out of her, where she finds another woman to portray her, because obviously they can't touch each other. Kay, he gets her this, I don't know what it's called, but I guess it's something where she could actually leave the house now, you know, because she's just confined to the house and stuff. Which begs the question, what's her name? Sylvia Hopes, who plays Love in the trailer. You see her in the trailer a lot, and she works for Jared Leto's company, whom they all make the replicants and stuff. You would think that she would be able to track Ryan Gosling through the means of Joy here, because, well, she even says at the beginning of the film here, is like, I see that you're a customer, you know, of ours. That's where he got Joy from, was from these people. So I was like, why didn't she just track? I don't know, maybe he probably broke the tracking device or whatever and stuff. I mean, they didn't really show that. I mean, he could have just, you know, she could have found his house by tracking it there. But I digress. A little small minutia there. I like the relationship that they had, Joy and Kay. And the whole concept of what's real and what's not. I always love that kind of storytelling, especially for a romance angle, if you're going to throw that into a film and stuff. I thought it was fantastic and how that was done. My problem with that, though, is I will say there are some aspects where I felt like that kind of ruined the pacing of the film. I thought, like, when it kept going back to that, I was like, you know, this could be a completely different whole movie with this aspect right here. And I know her already did it. But I think that with dealing with Villeneuve's creative ass mind and stuff, like, he probably could take that story arc right there and make a film. Not, I wouldn't say better than her, but I bet he could make a film that's somewhat different than her as well, but in the same premise. And every time it kept going back to that, I really did feel like it was just slowing down the pace. I thought the pacing was awful in the fucking first hour. I would even say some of the pacing later on in the film, it's like so slow. And the reason why I think the pacing is so bad too is because this movie is 2 hours and 45 minutes long, and I watched this movie in its entirety, and with the three times I kind of nodded off there, and I said, why the fuck is this 2 hours and 45 minutes long? Like, the story that it's telling, it's really not that important, number one. And number two, it's so simplistic that it could be solved. Like, that first hour can easily be done in 20 minutes. Like, I don't know if he just wanted to take you on a tour of this world. He's like, that's fine and all. I don't need to take no fucking tour. You can release that on the Blu-ray for your director's cut if you want. That's fine, whatever. But I don't want to see... I could give a shit less about the dark scavenges of this world and stuff. It's L.A. and it looks like trash. I get it. You know? But that first hour, I was just like, come on, man. And then, you know, I guess if we're getting to the negatives here... I guess I can get more positives. I didn't hate the film. I know it sounds like I am hating the film. I just really found like a lot of this could have been condemned to almost 2 hours, maybe 2:15 or 2:10, I'd say at the most, or whatever. But a lot of this was just like, really, that's it. And it's like, and like I hear people going like, it's a thinking man sci-fi, right? Because I know some people are gonna say some shit like that. I mean, it's like, no, not really, because like when you take that first hour and you really find out what's going on and everything, just like, y'all couldn't do that in 25 minutes. Like, seriously, I do love the opening here with Dave Bautista and stuff. Mind to mention, there's three shorts that you should watch. No, you shouldn't. You don't have to watch them, but. I watched one of them. I watched the animated one because I thought that was just the coolest one. And it really talks about like the replicants and why they're destroying them and stuff like that. So that one really did. And not to mention, there's some notes at the beginning of the movie that it fills up the whole screen. I read like the first maybe three lines and I said, I don't feel like reading this shit. I'm not gonna lie. I was just like, yeah, look, Let's get to the movie here. Come on, let's wrap this up, B. You're adding notes now to the set. I didn't want to read it because I had started having mother flashbacks. And I was like, okay, no, I don't want to read it. Maybe it's explained a little bit more, but it's like, yeah, what I saw in the movie just didn't feel that important for it to be having that much explanation to. So I was like, we can just move this along here. I don't know how I feel about the ending. Didn't hate it. Didn't love it. I thought Harrison Ford was great in this for his comeback in this movie. I thought they was going to kill his ass, to be honest. I'm not gonna lie. I think I said that last week in the episode. I was like, they should just kill him because I know that's what he wants. He's like, just kill me off, you know. He's coming back to all his characters to where he finally meets his end grave. I know because I think he was supposed to be rumored for the next Indiana Jones film that he's going to be back in there. I know he's asking for them to have a boulder just roll his ass over and stuff like that, you know. I do. The movie kind of ends on a note where it's like, you know, it could end where there could be more films here. I don't think they're making more films. There's no way in fuck that they're going to make more films. They left that ending to be bleak like that. And I don't mean bleak and like, oh, you don't know what's going to happen and stuff. I mean bleak is like, could they come back for another one or could they not? You know, this ends in a way where it could just cut off and you don't need any more films. But I know they left that bleak thing like, you never know, maybe it'll make money. But it's like, no, you knew in your mind of minds that this shit wasn't going to make money. Hell, even Warner Brothers knew that. That's why they didn't fucking take the chance of putting their money into this shit. Jared Leto, I got to say, what was the point of him in this fucking film? There's a lot of questions I have as saying just what was the point of this in here. And Jared Leto is the first thing that come to mind. Now, maybe they left him in the open arms of saying, hey, he could be in the sequel or something like that to this, you know, complete this trilogy or something. But, because he doesn't even get, they don't kill him or nothing. He just vanishes. He pops up and every now and then, and the shit he does with his dialogue just dragged on even longer. I thought I was in this theater longer just because of him. Because he's talking like this throughout the whole film. And I understand, maybe he's a replicant too. Because, you know, a replicant creating replicants, it just seems to be, you know, or maybe he's not. Whatever, if he's playing a replicant, that's cool and all. Why the fuck nobody else talk like that then, except for him? He's got to go in here and, you know, do his little, what do they call it these days? His method acting. At first I thought it was all right, but then he kept doing it, and I was just like, okay, hey, you're just fucking dragging. First of all, I don't know what the fuck he was talking about. That's the first thing. I was just like, what the fuck is he talking about these days now? I don't know. Not to mention, what's the, damn, what is the brother, I'm blanking on his name, Lenny James, he plays, damn, his name is Mr. Cotton in this fucking film, Jesus Christ, I mean, because he, you know, in his roles, he always play that fucking slave Negro talking dude that's paranoid as shit and stuff, his name is Mr. Denny, you couldn't give him a fucking another name, please, I mean, his name is Mr. Cotton and he's talking like he's a mystical Negro in this film here. I think he's a great actor. He's getting typecast. I mean, I still think his episode of The Walking Dead, Clear, that episode was just brilliant. I thought it was just amazing. But Ryan Gosling's character, he goes to San Diego to see if he can find more clues to this, you know, this child and stuff. And his ship gets shot down. He ends up finding, like, this underground child labor workplace or whatever. And who is it running run by? Is by Mr. Cotton here, named Lenny James, played by Lenny James here. And he's, like, in straight-up paranoid mode. He's going back to, I see red, I see. And then he finds out that Ryan Gosling is a cop. And he's like, Lord, no, I just work hard. They take everything from me. And I was just like, man, I thought he did a great job, too. That's the thing. I thought he did a good job in here. It's just like, you know, characters, actors in here, they just show up and vanish. Like, I think Ryan Gosling's just standing there or whatever. And Lenny James just runs out the room, never to be seen again, you know, and stuff, you know. I think they do that a lot. You know, Bacot Abdi is in here, too, plays Doc Badger. He kind of tells Ryan Gosling, you know, what the text of the horse that he has. The horse has the same date as the tree at Dave Bautista's house had and stuff. And, you know, it has a date in there. He's telling him, you know, it's real wood. And you're going to get real wood from one area. Kind of telling him where Harrison Ford might have, you know, hiding out and stuff. He pops over at once, and he was great in there as well too. I think he was. I hope that he's speaking Somalian. I don't know what Somalian sounds like, to be honest. Unless I go see Captain Phillips. Yeah, for all I know, this man can know 20 different languages in here. But he's speaking Somalian. I love that as a replicant, that Ryan Gosling, he knows every language and stuff like that. He just blends in. I thought that was great too. You know, sometimes when he just adds those little beats in there, that's always nice to have. Who else just popped? Jared Leto, he kind of pops in and out, you know, just talking some fucking nonsense. I would say Lenny James, too. He was another one. When he was talking, I was just like looking at him, what the fuck is he talking about? Like, what is he talking about? There was a lot of times in this movie where I was just going like, what the fuck are they talking about right now? And I don't know if that's just because I haven't seen the original Blade Runner in a while. I mean, because this movie does make a lot of hints that way. Because there were some things I was just like, I'm sure that's a reference. I'm sure that's a reference to... When it came to, like, Lenny James and, what's his name, Jared Leto, there was moments I just kind of just looked at the screen, and that was some of the reason why I just said, you know what, this is probably a perfect time to just go ahead and close my eyes right here, because I was like, what? You know, the thing about this sci-fi, this film here, too, is something like Arrival, I figure you should, like, watch all the way through, don't miss a beat of it, but something like this, I feel like you could just sleep through some of it, close your eyes, not pay attention or whatever, and you can still get it when it gets to this conclusion, because it's heart to heart, it's a detective film, and just figuring out the minutes of the details in here of, like, you know, just finding out who's his daughter. There's also this clip in here where Ryan Gosling, he has this memory of this horse that he has, and he starts to believe that is that what do they call it in this? I forgot what it's called. Is it, an implant memory? Or is that really his memory? He thinks it's a boy. And only for him to find out, no, the child that Harrison Ford and him had was a daughter. They just had her head shaved in his dream sequence, you know. So he kind of finds out, oh, wait, I'm not a human then. I am still a replicant. So that was another interesting detail I liked about the film a lot. You know, there was this whole mystery surrounding him. That's why I don't think that they needed all this extra shit added in here, too, and stuff, you know. This whole mystery of him finding out if he was human or not. That's a cool concept to throw in this type of film here. And along with the finding out of the daughter sequence, finding out, you know, about finding the kid, that could have been just added to the sequence of him finding out if he's a real person or not, you know. I think I found that out pretty early, too, in the film, where Harrison Ford's running when they finally found him. And he locks the door. But Ryan Gosling busts through the wall and shit, and I was like, yeah, you're totally a replicant, man. There's no way you're fucking human, dude. I can tell you that right now. There is no way you're human here. I saw some people doze off. I saw two people walk out. I saw some people gasping in the crowd. You know, you could tell who was the Blade Runner fans and stuff, like, going, oh, you know, and stuff. I just kind of fell in the middle. I was a little bored at times. By the time it ended, I was just like, eh, that's cool, you know. Nothing I would... I definitely don't want to fucking revisit. No. No. I mean, to look at, yes. I would love to look at it again. It's a beautiful looking film. I would even say the score. I like the score in some aspects. There were some portions of the score, though, I'm not going to lie, it was just overbearing. It was like Hans Zimmer's back to his bong moments and stuff like that. It was just like... Especially because what I like about the movie a lot... Well, I wouldn't say a lot. I like these for type of movies that are hour and a half long or whatever. There's a lot of silent shots in here. It's very quiet. It's very minute, especially for a film that's got a lot of stuff going on in the background. A lot of quiet moments. I love the quiet aspect of films. Not for 2.5+ hours. No, fuck no. No, you do not do that for 2.5 hours. You do it for moments. But to go almost all the way through the film with that shit, that's hell no. 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 That really took me out. And then there was some moments where it was quiet. No bit of dialogue exchange. Kind of like staring, looking at things. And then you just hear this score in the... Bong, and it's just like, what the fuck? And some of the times when the music faded into the... When that bong went and faded into the music, I was like, that's a really good song here. But there were some of those songs, moments like that, I was just like, it just doesn't fit for this sequence, though. You know? Like, if you want to throw the bong sequences out... That belongs in some of the more actioning pieces there, you know, towards the end or whatever, but not here. You should have had a more subtle, retro new wave song going on here, you know. But it was like hearing this, I was like a good time. Some of that music in here definitely would have fit in some of here because it was subtle. There was no subtlety to any of the songs in here at all. Sometimes in some sequences, I thought it fit. There was other times I was like, yeah, that's a little overbearing, a little too much there. There's a lot of random ass scenes in this film too, by the way. Like the scene where he gets to Harrison Ford's area and the sky is just orange as shit, and I'm just like, man, I wonder if Donald Trump go watch this, he'll start to believe in fucking climate change and pollution and all kind of stuff from here. Cause I was like, ooh, I wouldn't inhale any of this shit right here. But he gets there's a swarm of bees around there. I don't know why. I don't know if that's a callback to the original film or the first film or what it may be. What it may be. Then there's a shot of him sticking his hand under this beehive here. And then he comes out and his hand is covered in bees. And he stares at it. And then we just cut to the next scene of him walking. I was like, what the fuck was the point of that? Please, someone in the comments section explain that to me. There was like sequences like that, you know. I'm just like sitting there going, okay. I want to talk about a little bit more about Sylvia Hoax. I thought she was a badass in this film. She played like this just innocent bystander. Well, I wouldn't even say innocent bystander, but then she completely does a 180 where, you know, because she's a replicant, she just starts killing mofos. I mean, she's fucking ruthless, too. You know, I thought she was bad. She should have been the villain in my eyes. Or I don't know if they're doing any more with Jared Leto or something like that. Every time we got to the Jared Leto stuff, though, it was just so... Whatever, I guess. I mean, even when the Harrison Ford was interacting with him, I was just like, yeah, I don't really care about this aspect here. I think you could have just took him all completely out of this film here. It just added nothing for me. Although I loved it when they brought back, am I blanking on the name here? The name is so common, too. I want to say, like, was it Rachel? Maybe it might have been Rachel, Rochelle, Rachel, somewhere around there. Like, I think I know it started with an R, so maybe it was Rachel or whatever. They bring her back as a replicant as well. And then he's like, Harrison Ford's like, yeah, it's not her because her eyes are blue. And then he just walks away slowly, and then in the background you just see Sylvia Hoax just put a bullet in that girl's head or whatever. And I think that, honestly, that was the last shot he saw of Jared Leto. Like, he doesn't, Ryan Gosling doesn't go after him. He doesn't get killed or anything like that. That was just it. Just had a conversation with Harrison Ford. Then next thing, Harrison Ford's on a truck car handcuffed inside, and they're taking him somewhere. I don't know. They're transporting him somewhere, and they didn't even say where he's going. So until Ryan Gosling cuts him off and kills everybody in here, and strangles Sylvia Hoax's ass to death while drowning her, and then he takes Harrison Ford to see his daughter, which is the daughter he meets a little earlier in the film. He didn't know she kind of makes implant. She makes implant. She puts memories inside replicants and stuff like that. She's confined herself away from just civilization, if you will. She lives in like a little bubble and stuff where she just creates false feelings, if you will. And I kind of like the shot of Ryan Gosling just laying out on the porch. He's like, go meet your daughter. He just lays out on the porch and he's feeling the snow as he's bleeding the damn death and stuff, you know. And, you know, he, I guess in his moment, even though he doesn't, because Harrison Ford asked him, why are you doing this for me or whatever, and he's like, just go see your daughter here, you know. I guess that was his reason for actually being human in some aspects, you know, being alive, feeling the snow, because what he's feeling is definitely more real than what his Harrison Ford's daughter is feeling. I, you know, there's this this, I always remember there was this theory of, is Harrison Ford a replicant or not? And, you know, Rachel was or stuff. What I think is cool about that aspect, and because they, hey, Jared Leto and them, they wanted his daughter found and killed because she was she was given birth from a replicant, and like they're just like, that just can't happen. We can't be given birth and stuff, and plus it's the first of its kind ever happened like that too, so that's already like there. That's some cool ass. Like, wait a minute, the replicants are having kids now. Holy shit, that's cool. I don't know. I know the theory of is Harrison Ford still a replicant. I know Ridley Scott and Harrison Ford have always argued about this. I think Ridley Scott's on the side of he's not, and Harrison Ford is he is. I think it's still, that's a debate that still goes on today, and I'm sure this movie right here is going to still add on to that debate, because once again, they never really clear that up. Denis Villeneuve is like, I'm still not going to clear that up for you guys, but I enjoyed some moments of it. I think it's way too long. That first hour just drags on air. Some of the performances I thought was good to great in some aspects. The Ryan Gosling aspect, I think he's good. But, man, I tell you, that he could be a piece of why it kind of just drags a little bit, because he's playing a robotic-ass figure who doesn't emote until, like, later half in the film here. And then, by the way, if you're looking for Harrison Ford, him in a buddy cop film or something like that, Harrison Ford, I timed it, too. He doesn't show up till 2 hours and 14 minutes. This is a 2-hour and 44-minute film here. So if you're looking for a lot of Harrison Ford, good luck to that. Did I think it needed it? No, not really. It actually got along just fine without him. I don't know if people were going in here hoping for that or not. I know the trailer kind of sets it up like, oh, Harrison Ford is going to be playing a big part in here. He kind of does in some of the aspect, and kind of doesn't in really, when you really think about it in some aspect. I really like his relationship with Ana de Armas. I think the pacing, this movie has some pacing issues in some aspects. I don't know how you can ignore the pacing issues in that first hour at least or whatever shit. So to call it a masterpiece, it's like, are you serious? I was like, I guess it's one of those things like, yeah, it has problems, but it's completely overlooked because the story is so great, I guess. I don't know. People do that sometimes or whatever. For me, it was not that way. I thought the story was just okay. I didn't think it'd find nothing to be extravagant or amazing here. Not a bad film, not a terrible film, not a great film either, though. I thought it was just okay. It's just decent. It's okay. Wasn't blown away really by nothing except for the technical aspects of it, which you got to give your boy Roger Dinkin a lot of credits here. Hans Zimmer, he shows up to play in some aspects, and I guess really not kind of his fault more so. I guess it's more of the editor's fault, whoever edited the songs to go with these sequences. Well, actually, it kind of is Hans Zimmer's fault then, because he saw the scenes he was playing the music for, so never mind that. Yeah, Hans Zimmer, sometimes that brother can just go overboard with his music and shit. He needs to tone that shit down. So yeah, I think I'm just gonna go straight rent it. There was no way in fuck I would sit in a theater again 3 hours. I was in comfortable seating, had some good snacks here and there, you know, and I was just sitting there going like, yeah, I just couldn't watch this again in theater. Hell, I could barely probably watch it at home. I definitely would be getting up a lot. There's no way I could sit for 3 hours. You know, Wolf of Wall Street, loved that film, but that's a 3-hour film too that I'm never going back to as well, and I own the Blu-ray. So, you know, it's just a 3-hour time. It's a lot of time-consuming elements here for a film that I don't really think needed to be. So that said, I just give it a rant.
They know you're here. You do not know what pain is yet. You will learn. Bring it to me.
This breaks the world.
The future of the species is finally unearthed.